some people are tested in life unexpectedly in ways that no one ever should be. And sometimes the way a person responds to tragedy, to the inexplicably harsh fate thrust upon them, reveals extraordinary qualities that are an inspiration. Michelle Turvey is one of those people. Michelle is WA's Australian of the Year in 2024, an honour that was bestowed on her just 12 months after the heartbreaking loss of her beloved son, Cassius Turvey, the 15-year-old Indigenous boy who died not long after he was brutally attacked while walking home from school in Perth on the 13th of October, 2022. Cassius's death sparked an outpouring of emotion across Australia and beyond, with vigils to mourn his loss and the injustice of it all. But the quality of that outpouring was profoundly shaped by what Michelle said at the time. She called for calm and for unity. She said, "We know racism exists, but do not use my son's tragedy as a platform." And she asked for everyone to focus on what everyone has in common, that we're all people and that kids matter. Michelle Turvey, welcome to The Year That Made Me.
Hello, and thanks for having me.
It's a great pleasure, Michelle. Let's go all the way back to the beginning of your life. Could you tell us about your early years and the family that you grew up in?
I'm one of three children. I'm the eldest. I have a sister and I have a brother. I was born in 66. My name's Michelle with an E because of Michelle, my bell, the Beatles song, which was which was a big favourite of my parents. They were Beatle fans. As a young person, I think I was quite embarrassing to my mother, to my parents, because you know what? Didn't matter where I was taken, you know, where there's lots of people, trains and buses, I would talk to friggin' everybody, and that's where the embarrassment came in. And I've always been curious about people, asking questions and wanting to know how people tick. You know, if someone had a sad face, I wanted to know why. I didn't ask them how they were because I could see by their facial expression. But, yeah, I'm a bit of an explorer into the hearts, minds and souls of people. Always been like that.
In those early years, Michelle, how much did you know about the life that your mother and your grandmother had had?
A lot, because they were brilliant storytellers, and my mum still tells, you know, going back to when she was a child, she was an only child. My grandmother would share a lot of stories of her upbringing, being placed in a mission, how hard things were, you know, with her and her husband, my grandfather. I didn't get to meet him. He passed away a year before I was born.
Mm. What was it like growing up in Perth in, well, the early 70s as the daughter of a white father and an Indigenous mother?
Wow, very hard. Well, it was hard you know, they're just my parents and you don't think about, you know, back then I didn't think about being black, being white. But it soon kind of hit me that I was different when I started going to high school. A lot of the kids that I went to high school with at the beginning were just kids on my street and just happened to be all white. So then I go to high school and there's a bunch of black kids and kind of looked at me like, you know, what side of the fence are you going to be on, with them or with us? And it was confusing. It was like a bit of a crisis identity.
Yeah, so was it a struggle for you? You said you felt like you were sort of being pulled in one direction or the other. How did you sort of resolve those identity questions in your own mind?
It was kind of like, well, I've got a group of other Aboriginal people kind of having a go at me for being black but not with them. So I was like, well, what am I, you know? So how I resolved it is I'm just a person. And like I was saying, you know, I talk to anyone. So I just made friends with anyone and everyone. And, you know, my group of young people that I mixed with just expanded out of white and black and diverse. Yeah, and I'm still like that today, you know. I think there's too much focus on where we're from, what we do, and there's less focus on us just being human beings.
We're speaking with Michelle Turvey, who's WA's Australian of the Year on The Year That Made Me. Michelle, you've told us about those sort of tough, challenging times in high school and things like that. What did you do in the years beyond that? And tell us about the shaping of the next generation, your family.
I think one step just before that was when I was 16. I entered into domestic violence. Mm. Wow. 16, it's just crazy. I left home when I was 15. I'm very strong-willed back then and now, always will be. So I remember my father saying I couldn't go to an event, and I just said, no, I'm going. And he said, well, don't come back. And I was like, okay, fine. So I went and lived with an Aboriginal family that I went to church with, and I never went back home. I entered into a bad relationship, and I went through a lot of abuse and finally moved in with my grandmother. So that kind of moulded me a bit. I mean, at 16 years of age, you don't know what hit you, but I soon understood how strong family was because they stood by me. I fell pregnant. I was bashed. I miscarried the baby when I was, 16. Yeah, it's a really sad way to understand how much your family really love you and will support you no matter what.
Mm-hmm. So obviously terribly challenging times, but also you discovered strength within yourself and in your family. Definitely. Through those challenges. How did the next generation come about? Tell us about your kids and obviously particularly about Cassius.
I have three boys. The youngest one was 14 when Cassius came along to my old flame, my husband. When I say old flame, we were courting
each other. A
bit of a
romance in two phases, I understand.
I know. He didn't want to settle down, so I so I moved on. We got together 14 years later and Cassius was born.
And tell us about Cassius.
Oh, my baby boy. Well, Cassius was very unexpected because I got together with Sam, my husband, after 14 years, and Cassius was born a year after we started, we picked up on our romance again. I was 40 when I had Cassius. I didn't think I'd have any more children. So I always say that he was my 40th birthday present.
Well, he was quite the gift. He really does sound like a very special person, someone who stood out really to everyone he met and really filled a room. Tell us about some of the things he did as a young man.
I guess one of the things that come to mind and a lot of people can resonate with is the Lawnmower Boys. Mm. I mean, that's, how many kids do that? Start up their own little lawnmowing business in their local community just to prove a point that Aboriginal kids aren't just roaming the streets and causing havoc. And there was a lot of social media stuff going on, if something had happened in the community, then it was probably Aboriginal kids, I see them walking around without their parents, and so forth. And, my son's seen this and so did his friends and, really narked them up. Like, who are they talking about? They're really generalising in a way. It's not every Aboriginal person. We're good kids. So started a lawnmower business. It took off really, really fast and they were a bit confused, him and his mates that started it up, about how much they would charge each person for different things. And the beauty of it, Cassie says, oh, we'll just get them to name the price. And it's still going today.
Yeah, well, and obviously, the inspiration that Cassius had that has meant that his mates have continued the business, which must be hard for them, but I suppose it's also a tribute to Cassius as well.
Well, it is in a way because racism can be dealt with calmness or anger. And, a 13-year-old chose calmness and to prove a point, hey, just because I'm Aboriginal doesn't mean I'm bad. And I kind of took that on in my life as well from the day Cassius died.
Mm. Michelle, understandably, you've chosen 2022 as your year. even if nothing had happened to Cassius, 2022 would still have been a tragic year for you because you and Cassius lost Sam that year as well. Could you just talk us through how life was at the beginning of 2022 and then what unfolded from there?
My husband was going along okay with his treatments that he was getting. He had cancer. It spread to four different areas of his body. It started off in his liver. You know, the results were coming back really good, and then he got jaundice and they weren't able to maintain all those treatments and gave him a few weeks to 2 months. And Cassius was in total denial. We would sit him down so many times, you know, gently and say, you know, let's make the best of the time that we do have together. But he was just so angry with doctors and just said they could fix you, Dad. They'll fix you. Don't worry. So when Dad passed away, that following day, it was a different Cassius. It was like he'd grown 5 years older. He would be making my bed, making me breakfast, checking on me, you know, being so affectionate. It was kind of like he turned into his father. He turned into a young man overnight. And one of the reasons he was like that is because he promised his dad that he would look after me forever. So I kind of felt ripped off, you know. I felt that Sam was ripped off, you know, when I lost Cassius as well. I felt that Cassius was ripped off because he didn't live out his promise that he made to his father.
And for that to happen just a couple of months after you lost Sam, it's just unimaginable, Michelle, the grief that you had to bear. But you mentioned that word of calm. And I've heard you say before you called for calm because that's part of me. Could you tell us about that part of you? Where does it come from?
Look, all emotions are amazing and we lean on all of them, but some are pretty dangerous if you take them to, you know, higher levels than what they will be. You know, it's not a tool that I was born with. I think I was raised with that by, especially my grandmother. You know, you'd never see her scream or shout. And even when I used to get angry or annoyed at things, she'd always bring me down to a level where I could see things a lot clearer and I would always figure out a solution for whatever the situation might be. I always say she's my levelling spirit.
Mm. So you'd sort of discovered that and learned that earlier in life, and I suppose still then when things like that happen, you don't quite know how it's going to affect you. And I gather that there was anger as well, unsurprisingly, and including anger at the WA police, a lot of which was focused on Detective Sergeant Stephen Cleal. Could you tell us about your early dealings with him and where it's gone to since then?
Oh, poor bloke. He didn't know what hit him, honestly. He knew that he was coming out as a homicide detective in a murder case. Cassius, he had no idea that I had buried my husband 3 weeks prior. He had no idea that Cassius' friends, who were witnesses of his assault, were left there. The police went, the ambulance went, and they were left there to their own devices. He had no idea. Not only was I angry about that, I was also angry that a completed police statement wasn't carried out. It started. Cassius identified one of the perpetrators who was charged and put in prison. And I just think there was a gap there of 5 days where Cassius, being in hospital, talking well, playing peaceful, eating McDonald's, I thought there was a gap there where they could have completed a full statement. And what happened is Steve had to go through the day of the assault with me, and I was just, I was all over the place, hey, because I wasn't there. It didn't happen to me. And I felt like I had to relive that day and re-grieve it all over because of not enough information was taken by the police.
But you formed a bit of a connection with Stephen Cleal, didn't you? How did that come about?
Patience. Ears. empathy, not telling me what I should do or what I shouldn't do, being a kind person. You know, I looked beyond him being a detective. He met with a lot of my family members. He's taken us through the pathway of what happens next, the court cases, going to every court case with us. We never felt like he was doing his job, even though he was. He's just, it's really hard to sum Steve Cleal up in one word, but I guess maybe, you know, there's a good cop, bad cop. He's a good cop. He's a good bloke. And I do class Steve as my brother.
And it sounds like the things that you and Steve were able to sort of work through in such a heart-wrenching time, in a way, is the foundation of the work that you've continued to do with the WA police. Could you tell us about that, Michelle?
A few months after Cassie's passed away, the police commissioner, Cole Blanch, approached me and said, look, here's something to think about. I want my force to see people as people, not as jobs or statistics. I want them to have more empathy. And I said to him, oh, you want to stamp out the robocop attitudes? And he goes, yes. And he said, would you be able to put a program together, develop it yourself, personalize it in support of victims of crime by taking them through your trauma and life experiences and how they should react?
And you've done just that, Michelle, dealing with all the new incoming recruits of the WA police. Is that right?
Every last one of them will, I don't like calling it training. I like calling it sharing my life in terms of Cassius. And it also covers, you know, my grief of losing my husband as well. It's called Take Five because that's all it takes, maybe 5 seconds or 5 minutes to gain someone's trust, build a rapport, and actually let people know that you're there for them and you're not just there for a job, you know, in and out the door.
Michelle Turvey, does the work that you do with the WA police now make you optimistic for what's possible?
Oh, definitely. The feedback from Take Five has just been astounding. And I guess the first bit of feedback I got after the first session just resonates with me. One of the new recruits said, I loved it because when we're going through the police academy, a lot of it is second, third, fourth hand, you know, videos, textbooks, real scenario stuff until we get on the beat. He said, but to have you there, a real person, first-hand experience, just makes such a big difference. And now I work with the police as I'm a full-time job. I'm one of their assistant directors.
Michelle, it's a great honour to be the WA Australian of the Year, but I imagine that every part of the celebration of that is also tinged with the horrible circumstances that led to you getting that honour. How do you deal with it on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, look, I'm not into accolades and awards and stuff like that. Or rewards. I'd rather reward someone by just mentoring them or being there for them. I'll always help people before myself. It's something that my psychologist is trying to get me to ease up on, but I've already told her there's no hope in that.
Well, I don't think you should ease up on that at all, Michelle, because it's an amazing quality and it really does make you an inspiration.
Well, it's part of me, and I guess everything that I've done from 2022 onwards is still me just being me.
And we always finish up this segment by asking our guests to nominate a piece of music for us. What have you chosen for us, Michelle, and why?
I've chosen Jealous of the Angels by Donna Tagger, and the reason I chose that is I only heard it the week before Cassie's funeral and it just resonated so much. Yes, I'm jealous of the angels, and it also kind of describes the song is, when I first heard it, it's me and Cassie's to a T, and I played it at his funeral.
Michelle, thanks so much once again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And here it is, Donna Taggett's Jealous of the Angels.
Didn't know today would be your last, or that I'd have to say goodbye to you so fast. I'm so numb I can't feel anymore. I'm praying you'd just walk back through that door and tell me that I was only dreaming. You're not really gone as long as I believe. There will be another angel around the throne tonight. Your love lives on inside of me, and I will hold on tight. It's not my place to question, only God knows why. I'm just jealous of the angels around the throne tonight.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.